Many love the Lord and want to be fruitful as Christians, but like those in Hosanna's time, they vary due to lack of knowledge. That's why CRI's headquarters is so crucial. Our new resource center will function to keep Christians equipped and empowered for the daily battles that we face in post-Christian culture. Now, as we work to build CRI's new resource center and place these essential resources at the disposal of literally millions of Christians around the world, we can only move forward with the support of partners like you. And to say thanks for your support in this strategic effort and to help equip you as you contend for the faith, Hank would like to send you a copy of Knowing Scripture, written by R.C. Sproul. Just ask for radio offer number 397. Now, your willingness to stand side by side with us to play a crucial role on the front lines of CRI's ministry is very important. God bless you richly for the difference that your partnership makes in so many lives. Once again, thank you for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast and, you know, for CRI. 1996 will clearly go down as one of the most significant years in our 36-year history. Now, we've taken a bold step of faith and moved into our new international headquarters building. We're here right now. And this move will alter the future of the gospel and apologetics worldwide. A long-term effect is nothing short of staggering. And to thank you for your gift of $15 or more to Project Faith, Hank would like to send you his new tape, Classic Christianity. Just call us at 714-858-6100. Or if you're using a credit card, the number is toll-free, 888-7000-CRI. This message will help you to discern between classic and genuine Christianity as you stand with us in 1997. And until next time, God bless you.
Welcome back to the Bible Incident Broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Kennebrass, president of the Christian Research Institute. As always, delighted that you joined us for the broadcast. And inviting you to join us on air with your question to U.S. or Canada by dialing 888 to ask Hank. Do remember, this broadcast is simulcast on the internet at address www.equip.org. I want to read a letter that I got. Dear Mr. Hanegraaff, I'm a member of the Worldwide Church of God, and as I stated in my previous letter to you, I became interested in your organization after you first interviewed Mr. Joseph Dukach and Mr. Greg Albrecht on the broadcast, The Bible Instrument, about a year ago. I've asked you to send me various items of literature within the past year, and I've learned much from your literature. I now realize that some of the things we were taught were untrue, while others were simply one of the many stands on a particular minor subject that Orthodox Christians profess today. I'm deeply overjoyed that the Worldwide Church of God has recently turned to Christ, salvation by grace and faith in Jesus Christ alone, and I've recently been filled with more zeal than ever to learn about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Our church is still in the process of spiritual healing, and I'm sure it will take some time before all the past wounds have indeed been healed. Mr. Dukach, Sr. had the courage and tenacity to stick by God's Word, knowing it would result in sacrifice and adversity. His son is following in his footsteps, and we are currently in a state of financial difficulty. However, we are closer to Jesus Christ than ever before, and I know he is carrying us through this difficult time. His grace and his power are certainly evident at this time. Sincerely, Sebastian, something you can identify with.
Oh, man, that was beautiful. That makes me a little misty.
Well, you know, there are many people that have gone through, as you call it, this journey with you. It has been a difficult journey, but it has been an extraordinarily rewarding journey as well, as many people have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's really one of the untold stories, Hank, about the gentleman who wrote there. There are so many people in our fellowship who are so delighted and have the joy of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit of happiness and joy. We can't stop singing God's praises about that.
Yeah, there's one other thing I could share with you that this is like the best news I've gotten this year so far. We did a lay pastor training, 10 days worth of intensive training with about 30 people. And afterwards, these people returned back to their respective areas all over the United States, and where they were on fire. And just this week, we heard from two of them because they have small little groups. And one, I think, had a cell group of 20 people. The other one, a group of about close to 29, 30 people. And they wrote back to tell us that in 2 months' time, they both doubled their groups. and that they did it in a real easy way. They said, let's just invite a friend to our village group, and let's pick a day and everyone bring a friend. And they did, and they're staying. And it shows that it doesn't take a whole lot of money to do ministry. And there's a myth that exists in, and not just in our fellowship, but it's throughout all denominations, that you have to have a lot of money and build, construct a building or a sanctuary. You know, you look through the book of Acts and you see they were meeting in houses, and you couldn't stop the spreading, friend to friend, as Greg alluded earlier, a beggar telling another beggar where to get the bread. And that was heartwarming news to see in 2 months' time they'd done that work.
One of the things that you have committed yourself to, Joe, is to take the resources of the Worldwide Church of God and to use them for ministry. And that, of course, is something that is a joy to everyone out there in the trenches, knowing that there is an organization standing by them that is committed to equipping God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might indeed be built up and strengthened.
Absolutely true. I'll share the burden that I feel right now about where we are in our journey. We've got a lot of committed people, and we have a lot of Christians coming alongside us from all denominations to pray for us and hold us up in prayer. But I'm hoping that our people won't become weary with well-doing. It's a tactical battle that we fight, and some people are falling into the misperception that we want to maintain the status quo,
or that you're not making changes fast enough.
Or that we're not making changes fast enough. And frankly, you can only proceed so fast. You know, if I can use two different analogies real quickly. My daughter's in third grade, and she's learning math. And you know, she's learned how to add and subtract, and now she's learning how to multiply and divide. Well, she's not ready to do algebra or calculus or trigonometry or any of the higher level calculation. And some people say, well, you're not moving fast enough. Well, you know, you can't move to trigonometry until you have mastered these core skills first. Or to use another analogy, you know, if a person weighs 300 pounds and they want to get down to 180, they don't lose the 120 pounds in a week. If they do, they die. You lose it over a period of time. And so we're going through a journey where we're unlearning error and embracing truth. And you have to move through that as the Holy Spirit leads you. You can't get ahead of the Holy Spirit or you have trouble, and you can't lag behind the Holy Spirit or you have trouble. And so I hope our people won't get weary with well-doing. You know, we have plans that I've articulated to the church to relocate and use the resources that we liquidate in furthering the kingdom. And some people mistakenly perceive that we want to maintain things the way they are and we live high on the hog here in Pasadena. Well, the opposite is true. We're selling what we have in Pasadena. And we've consolidated. You know, we had one time 600 employees here in 3-4 years ago, and now we have only 155, I think it is, 155 employees. And we've really trimmed down. So I hope that our people won't get weary with well-doing. And I know many won't, but I know some are.
And I think one of the things that should not be missed by our listening audience is that it takes an incredible amount of humility for the leader of a major movement to say what you've just said, which is, I don't know it all. I'm learning. Please be patient as I learn. And I think that we all would do well to learn from that kind of humility within the body of Christ. I want to go to Greg, Pasadena, California, KKLA. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question about teaching on Israel and also about Herbert W. Armstrong's former teachings that the unconditional promises to Israel can be traced to the scattered tribes that ended up in Western Europe and then even can be identified with the United States.
Greg, since that's a hot button for you, why don't you tackle it?
Well, Greg, my name is Greg also Greg Albrecht, so let me briefly speak to your issue there. British Israelism, or Anglo-Israelism, was a teaching that, as far as we can trace, goes back to the British Empire in terms of its most popular form. And it was taught there and gained quite a bit of popular acceptance because it essentially said to the British Empire that what you are doing in terms of building an empire and taking over land and people, et cetera, I'm not trying to get into a political discussion on that, is justified by the Bible, because the Bible says that there are lost tribes. And these tribes, if you like, have a heritage. They will have physical blessings. They have a legacy given to them by God. And so, therefore, in this case, depending on which form of Anglo-Israelism you believe, that Great Britain was either Manasseh or Ephraim, the tribes and sons of Jacob and of Joseph, and therefore they are to be a company of nations, as it says in Genesis. Therefore, what you're doing is a divine right. You can do that. And then the teaching goes on beyond that and identifies a number of other folks. They all happen to be white. None of them are people of color. And they are given the right to bear rule physically over others. We have researched this. We have found this to be both biblically erroneous, the hermeneutic used in understanding this is completely erroneous, as well as historically absolutely erroneous, if not fabricated.
Do you hold to supersessionism or replacement theology?
No, we don't.
Okay. So the tribes of Israel spoken of in Revelation represent the tribes of Israel.
Well, now, are you dealing with the nation of Israel and what we would believe about the nation of Israel today?
That's the question I'm asking you.
Well, the basic thing is the final overthrow of the northern kingdom, Israel, took place in 721 B.C., and Judah, the southern kingdom, was taken in 588 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar. So in the post-exile period, there were no longer two kingdoms, but rather one. And I think Paul puts it clearly, I'm a man which am a Jew, for I'm also an Israelite. Or, as Jeremiah put it, the children of Israel shall come as the children of Judah together as one. So I think that it's important to realize that what Greg and Joe would both say is that historically, biblically, you can't find any kind of validation for the whole concept of British Israelism. It is a concept which is deflective, injurious, and dead wrong. I don't know how they can say it any clearly, more clearly than that. If you want further information, just to give you a historical paradigm, hang on, we can send it to you. Want to go to David in Iowa, KFGQ. Hi, David.
Hello, this is a privilege. I praise God for what he is doing through all of you guys. We've just started listening to you, Hank, in recent months, and God raised my wife through Worldwide Church of God. She's a wonderful woman. She went to AC. I loved your dad, Mr. Koch.
Thank you. Feel free to call me Joe.
Okay, Joe. We're not currently members. We've we're attending the First Evangelical Free Church, but...
Well, as long as you're attending a healthy congregation, that's important.
That's right. And that's one of my questions. But one of the things, I loved your dad. I was behind him on his changes, and I was ahead of him on some others. But one thing that bothered my heart a lot was the church's failure to do what Mr. Hanegraaff has done in the journal and speak out on the abortion, on the issue of abortion. And I was wondering if you would do that sometime soon.
What about that, Joe? What is your position on the issue of abortion?
Yeah, you know, we don't favor abortion at all. And I know we've had a few people leave thinking that we do. And what happens in some of those cases is, rather than seeing what we say about it, they listen to one of the dissident voices or splinter groups. And what they say, we say about it. But the fact is, we do not support abortion unless, of course, a mother's life is in jeopardy and the doctor says, look, it's a choice between two lives. Yeah, you're going to save your wife or the baby, and, you know, maybe we can save the baby, but we certainly can save your life.
Is this the kind of issue that you're willing to deal with in Flintrist?
Yeah, David, Greg Albrecht here. We recently, of course, you probably haven't read it, not attending, but in the our church newspaper, the Worldwide News, we recently had a statement on abortion. And we're very happy to deal with the issue in the plain truth. The only thing that we would say about it is that we would hesitate to make abortion the gospel. And I'm not speaking of anyone here necessarily. I'm simply saying that there are times when folks get, and we know this very well, focused on one issue, and they forget that Jesus Christ is Lord. They forget that the triune God, they forget that salvation is by grace through faith, and those are really the central issues of the gospel. And they want you to proclaim something else so much and so often and so dogmatically that they think that because you don't emphasize it, that therefore you're not preaching the gospel.
I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Well, thank you so much once again for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast. And if you haven't visited our internet site yet at www.equip.org, I encourage you to do so right now. In fact, you can now catch the Bible Answer Man broadcast live around the world every day on the World Wide Web at www.equip.org. Now, our goal is to place desperately needed apologetic ammo into the hands of Christians around the world contending for the truth. Together, we can make the World Wide Web a strategic outreach for worldwide ministry. And again, that's www.equip.org. And until next time, on behalf of Hank Hanegraaff, the entire staff at CRI, thanks for joining us, and God bless you.